All right. Good morning, everybody. Great to see you. And welcome. This is our final week in our Unshakable series. And good to be back home with you. I was out last weekend ministering in Columbus, Ohio, with Pastor Rob and Tricia, Gracetown Church. We had a great time. And man, just always appreciate the honor when we get to do that. And know things went well here. Pastor Jason and Nicole shared a message and their story, and it was powerful. And so, man, this whole series, I just hope you've enjoyed it, because it's just been, man, just a faith-building series, everybody. So it's been really, really good. How many of y'all enjoy this series? Amen. All right. Good. All right. Awesome. Well, just before we get into the message this morning, everybody say next week. It's Easter. Easter's here, and we're excited about it around here. We know God's going to do some powerful things, and believing big for just life transformation. So just want to just remind you, our invites are inside your worship guide. You got a few there. You can get more at the hub if you want more on your way out today. And last couple weeks, just been encouraging you to pray and invite. And so just want to encourage you to continue to keep that before you, and just believing for God to do amazing things. And so it was just this past Friday for me, I had the opportunity. One of my neighbors was outside, and I've just kind of had a goal in my heart. Really want to see the neighbors around me, man, just be impacted for Jesus. And so one of my neighbors, man, had a great conversation, and their family's coming next weekend. So I'm pretty excited about that and looking forward to seeing them with us. So, man, just be praying. And I just encourage you, people are highly likely to come even more during an Easter time than any other time of the year. But 8 out of 10 people will come to church if they were just invited. And so some are just one invitation away. And man, just encourage you, get them here, bring them here, even pick them up as well. And we're going to have just a powerful, powerful time next weekend. So again, just make sure, get those out and believe in God for do great things. One other quick thing, just want to ask you to do on your connection cards. If you pull that out real quick here this morning, I won't spend a lot of time on this, but enough. On the bottom, of course, there's always an opportunity for you just to jot down any prayer requests that you would have. And then also, man, that just helps us as a staff, our team, to know just what's going on, how we can pray for you. But I want to encourage you today, if you would, to just jot down maybe some of the names that you know that are coming next weekend with you. Because what we're going to do this week as a staff and just our team, and then on Saturday morning prayer next week, is just be praying over those names with you. And we just want to agree together with you and believing for God to move in a powerful way. And the church said a good amen. Amen? All right. Well, let's get into our message here this morning as we close out this series. And I want to start right here in John 16:33. Been a verse that we've shared a lot in this series. And as we close up, Jesus reminding us, he said, "In this world, you're going to experience difficulties. But take heart, I've conquered the world. And I've told you this so that in trusting me, you will be unshakable." Everybody shout unshakable. Come on, one more time, unshakable. There you go. "And deeply at peace." Such a great verse, such a great reminder for us, because the honesty of Jesus and being transparent, reminding us that, hey, gang, that we are not in heaven. This is not heaven, everybody, right? And so we live on earth. Heaven comes later. And so we're going to have some difficulties, but take heart, because you have a Savior that gets it, understands it, it's overcome the world. And because of that, if you'll trust him, because that's the key, and trusting him, you can be unshakable. And there really is a place in your life of consistency that you can be unshakable, but then deeply at peace. How many like a good dose of peace in your life? Amen. And so that's God's promise to us. And so I don't know about you, but I desire the life that is unshakable in the things of the Lord, and not allowing whatever's going to around me to shake me up. Amen. And so we've talked so much about our foundation in Christ being secure and steadfast. But I want to spend a few minutes talking about, I think, something that's real important for you and for me, and something that can hold us back. And sometimes that's labels. Sometimes that's the power of a generational curse that can come upon us. And I will talk a little bit more about what that means in just a moment. But there's kind of good labels, and then there's kind of some things, labels that you don't want to said about you. But I was thinking about some of maybe the funnier ones you might know, like a show way back in the day, Conan the Barbarian. Any of y'all remember that show at all? Like three of us? All right, anybody? All right, there's a few. All right, good. make sure I'm not the only one. One, I think everybody will know, Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, right. Just Pooh and service, just saying it's like freedom in that, isn't it? But anyway, so Winnie the Pooh. And then one of my favorite basketball players of all time, I still think he's the best, I don't think LeBron can hold a candle to him, and that's Michael Air Jordan. Yeah, I mean, Michael Jordan, Jordan fan. And then one of my favorite baseball players growing up from the Orioles was Cal Ripken. His nickname was the Iron Man. And so there's labels. Sometimes they're good, and sometimes obviously things that can be said about us that if we're not careful, we start believing in that are not true and they're not healthy or it could be toxic. I even remember for me growing up, some of the labels or nicknames that was on me, and for in my the sports world, obviously I'm not super tall in stature, amen. But I was small but fast. So my nickname was Scrappy, and that was because I was quick. Nobody could outrun me. All right, back in the day, and so Scrappy, yeah. And then when I was in school, though. Preacher Boy, yeah, imagine that. That was one of my nicknames, Virgin Boy. But I think those are good nicknames, everybody, that I had. So that was cool with me. But I want to share with you a story this morning out of Genesis and talking about Abraham. I want to talk to you about generations and how unhealthiness of what maybe have happened generations before us can be passed down if we're not careful, but to be mindful of it. I'm going to show you a picture of this in Scripture of how to be aware. And here we have the parents that are Isaac and Rebecca, and they were in a place that they didn't plan on naming their kids. They actually named their two boys after their physical defects. So the first son, Esau, his name really was hair. He was hairy. And so, and then Jacob really means heel. So I just encourage you, don't name your kids hair and heel, everybody, all right? So that might complicate things later on for them. But here's what I know about labels. Jot this down this morning, is that labels affect your identity. They really do have the ability to do that. And I want to show you that this morning here in Genesis 25, as we look at this family, as we look at this story, and it says, the boys grew up and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, kind of a man's man, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. Isaac, who was the father, had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah, the mother, loved Jacob. And if you can't already tell within this verse, there's already some unhealthiness that is kind of going on here. And so in that time, the men would work and take care of the cattle, which Esau really followed in the steps of his father, Isaac, while Jacob was more of a mama's boy, kind of hung back with mom, stayed in the tents. And sometimes we have labels that I think that have affected us. And maybe you feel this way. Maybe you've heard someone say, man, I kind of feel like I'm the heel of the family. Or maybe you've heard somebody say, I'm the black sheep of the family. Nobody really, I just don't ever feel like I've ever fit. How many have ever heard just that before? Yeah, three of you. Okay, so maybe the rest of you have. Anybody else ever heard that before? All right, good. All right, you can talk to me this morning. It's all right, all right? And so we battle with these, and labels also affect our decisions. Our decisions in our life that we have, the decisions that we have. Jacob's family had issues, had a lot of issues. Abraham, his grandfather, Scripture said he's the father of many nations, but had some major issues going on within his life. I know you're in my family. We don't have any of those issues, do we, everybody? Of course we do, all right? And so did they. They had issues going on within their family. And it says this in Genesis 20. Now Abraham moved on from there into the region of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. I want you to watch this. For a while he stayed in Gerar. And there Abraham said of his wife Sarah, she is my sister. Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. I think it's interesting in chapter 18, just two chapters earlier, she said that she was too old to have children, but two chapters later, she's so beautiful that a king wants to marry her. And it's interesting because what's interesting is she really was Abraham's sister. All right? How many thank God that we don't do that today? Amen, everybody. All right? Whew. And Abraham had character issues going on. With all of his faith and the incredible things that God used him to do, he still had great struggles, still had great issues. And he was in a place that he was scared, as we see in this verse, that he was willing to give his own wife away in marriage. And what that shows me is that there wasn't enough character there within Abraham. that he didn't have the integrity just to say that this is his wife. And I think what happens is when we read scripture, we read a lot of the great miracles and things that take place as we should, and look at some of the heroics of what God has done as we should. But sometimes we miss out on the process in order to see that to be accomplished. And those processes are so important for your life. Why? Because they are character building moments that is going to grow you as a believer and to mature you in your faith so you can be all that God has for you and so that you can see the miraculous come into your life. Great place to say amen. Amen. And so there they were in that place. And in the exact same country, it then happened to the next generation now with Isaac. Abraham, Isaac, his son, Jacob's dad and granddaddy. It says this, verse 7, chapter 26, when the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, notice this, now Isaac's saying, she's my sister, because he was afraid to say, she is my wife. And he thought the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah, because she is beautiful. If you haven't figured out, there is like no backbone in these guys. Like no backbone at all. They've married good-looking women, and they don't have the guts to stand up for them. And so what there is happening is an integrity issue, that they are willing to give up their wives in order to protect themselves. I mean, y'all know that's a little selfish. I mean, y'all can see the dysfunction going on within this family, right? And so Jacob not only means heel, but Jacob means deceiver. And so what can happen is there be a generational label or curse that is going on that even maybe for some of us that we've struggled, or maybe we've heard things that have been pronounced or said over us, that if we're not careful and we just sometimes just pass kind of through and we accept things that aren't true. Like, your daddy always struggled with anger, and so because your daddy struggled with anger, you're going to struggle with anger. Your mom cheated on her husband, so because of that, you always going to be a cheater. You know, your parents struggle with weight issues, so you always going to struggle with weight issues. It's the lies of the enemy that try to get us to believe things that are simply not true and label us things. And can I just tell you that God desires to break the labels that bind us in Jesus' name and to give you and I a new name, which is what I'm going to show you here in just a minute. But I think there's two ways, and I really just want to remind you of something this morning, that the enemy is predictable. I shared that in the first series of this year. And this is not in your notes, so this is kind of free. If you want to write this down, you can. That there's really just two ways that I think the enemy really beats up people the most. And that's, first of all, your past, your yesterdays. The enemy's real good at reminding you of your yesterdays and the things that you and I have struggled with. But how many know we serve an awesome God who is so faithful and loving that reminds us of our future and reminds us of his love that is available for us? Amen, church? Thankful for that. And the second thing is things that are done generationally. That because granddaddy struggled with it, daddy struggled with it, or grandma and mama, then I guess I'll struggle with it too. And so we just kind of accept things, but I'm just going to kind of push on you today a little bit and just say, don't accept the lies of the enemy and things that have been said that are not true in Jesus' name. Amen? God desires to remove those labels, and that's why having an understanding of Jesus and your personal relationship with him and knowing him personally is everything. It's not about going to a church. It's not about religion, everybody. It is about a personal relationship, because you need Jesus outside of a Sunday too. Oh, you can say a better amen than that. You need Jesus outside of a Sunday too. Yeah, I know I do. I'd lose my mind today if he wasn't with me Monday through Saturday too. You know, and so, but it's knowing him personally. And what has happened sometimes, I think, in the journey, and where the enemy has tried to capitalize sometimes, is capitalize on religion. Because religion will try to paint pictures about God that simply are not true. And I'm just challenging you, don't buy into that. Don't buy into the works kind of mentality. Religion has lied and says that we have to get our act together to go to God. And which is not true, everybody. Amen? Maybe you've heard somebody say, man, a friend said, man, I can't step in church. A lightning bolt will come and hit me if I step in that place. You ever heard somebody say that? And how many know that's religion? It's not true. Why? Because we serve a loving God. We serve a powerful God that gave his life for you in Jesus' name. I realize we celebrate Easter next week, and it's going to be awesome. But Easter is not just a day to be celebrated, but a day to be experienced, because it's an everyday walking with Jesus life, of experiencing his resurrection in his power. So relationship with Jesus says that we have to get to God, to get our act together. Do you see the difference this morning? And so labels affect also our relationships. It affects the way you see the world. It affects decisions. Jacob was in a place that he was starved for attention from his dad. He was, just starved for attention. And Isaac, his father, is in a place now. He's in his dying days. He's blind. And in that time, culturally, they would bless the firstborn child. And so Isaac tells his son, Hare, or Esau, all right, everybody? He says, hey, Hare, Esau, hey, I want you to go get some food. And when you get the food, bring it back, and then I'm going to give you the blessing. Well, because this is like, it's like a bad Jerry Springer episode, y'all. In the other room, his mama was listening. Rebecca's listening and said, oh, no. Oh, no, because Jacob's going to steal it. I mean, no, drama up in the family. That's why I'm saying, man, y'all, the Bible is just packed with this stuff. I mean, it's an amazing book. It's awesome. All right, everybody? Get in the Word. Get in the Word. I'm just telling you, it is juicy in the Scripture. It's awesome, all right? And so here she is listening. She tells Jacob, hey, this is what we're going to do. And Jacob says, Mom, there's no way Dad's going to believe that's me. He's hairy. I'm not. Big difference, you know? And so she says, no, I got this. I'm going to make the food. I'm going to prepare it for you. I'm going to get some goat hair on your arms and your hands. When your dad touches you, he's going to know it's Esau. And so he goes, ends up doing that, follows his mom's advice, goes to dad. And his dad says, Isaac said, this is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And so he ends up giving the blessing over to Jacob. And we pick up the story here in Genesis 27. It says, Isaac said, your brother came and deceived me. Esau came back here with his dad and has taken away your blessing. Now watch what Esau says. He pronounces the label. Esau said, isn't this, like, Dad, hey, wait a minute. Isn't this why you named him Jacob? Heel? Because he's a deceiver and he's a manipulator? Isn't that why you called him that? He's cheated me twice already. He's took my rights as firstborn and now he's taken my blessing. What happens is we buy into the lies and we sometimes live out what other people have said or have spoken over us. And I'm just declaring in Jesus' name today, those labels to come off you in Jesus' name. And for you to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, to realize what it is that God says about you. And so, but what I think is important is that we come to the realization and we need to process this. And you're going to see in a moment how Jacob processed this time of coming to terms with who he was and who he wasn't. And so, but we need to have these moments within our life to identify and process, but we've got to move forward from it. Amen, church? And so honesty, everybody say honesty. Man, it's key. It is so important in your relationship with Jesus. And how many know honesty is so important in any relationship in your life? Amen, everybody? And so honesty is crucial. But here's what I know. You cannot get over what you don't own. I'm going to say it again. I think that's a good word. You cannot get over what you don't own and what you don't take responsibility for. It's easy to push and misplace and blame it on everybody else. But you have to take responsibility and say, God, you've got to help me with this. That's why I love our growth track. It's why I love small groups. It gives us an opportunity to help disciple people, help them through a process of freedom, help them grow in their faith, to work out the issues, because we all got them, everybody. And we got to get honest with God, and we got to get honest with people. It's so important. And so that's what Jacob did. He got honest. He made the decision. I'm going to allow a process to come in. And so he travels back to Esau. Of course, the relationship's rocky. They went a time, hadn't talked. But Jacob was tired of it, and he was scared to come back to his brother because his brother's strong. He's a warrior. Jacob said, man, I'm not. And Jacob goes WWE on God, like has a moment, a huge wrestling match with God, and wrestles with him. And let's look at this here in chapter 32, verse 24. It says, so Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled. In my house, we say wrestle, all right? But everybody say wrestled. Wrestled with him till daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, notice this. This is a powerful moment. He said, what's your name? What's your name? He said, well, my name's Jacob. I'm going to show you in the next verse in just a moment why that's significant and why that is so important. But here's the moment you don't want to miss from this, is that Jacob came face to face with who he was. That I'm Jacob. I'm a deceiver. I'm a manipulator. I've always felt like I was the heel of the family. I never felt like I was ever loved from my dad. And can I just say, we need that kind of honest moment, transparency with God. That once we identify whatever that label is, whatever that is that we may have seen passed down, that you must realize this morning that Jesus is higher. His name is higher than any label that's ever been tried to place on you. And can I just say this too, as I was just reading this, that I think about that wrestling match that was going on, but you know what I see is a desperate Jacob. I see a Jacob who said, man, I'm tired of being where I'm at. This is not who I want to be, but got to such a desperate place with God that said, I'm not leaving here until you bless me, until something moves in my life. I'm not doing it, because God's called you to more than what you've seen. There's more to this journey, everybody. If not, we might as well pack up and go home. Talk to me in here. There's more to this thing. And when you realize whom you are, whom you belong to, let me say it that way, and realize Christ inside of you, the hope of glory, man, I'm telling you, that's unshakable. That's unshakable faith that you cannot be moved because you understand whose you are. Amen, everybody? Yeah, you can give God the praise. I'm telling you, that's unshakable faith. But when's the last time? When's the last time that we've gotten so desperate for God, and during a week or whenever, and just had those one of those God moments and said, God, I'm not moving until I hear you. When's the last time we've just been desperate? God doesn't want to just be your God on Sunday, everybody. He wants to be your God the rest of the week. And he wants to grow and enrich your life and faith so that you can do greater things. And I'm going to show you that here in just a minute. So important. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. I love this verse. The old life is gone. When you've come to Jesus, the old life is gone and a new life. Everybody shout, a new life has begun. God wants to do some new things to break the labels off of us. So here's the first thing he'll do. God will give you a new name. After Jacob comes to grips with whom he was, I want you to watch what happens here. This is the next verse I was telling you about, verse 28. It says, then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. What God is, in other words, what he's saying is, I'm assigning you a new name, Jacob. And that name Israel means the Lord will prevail. Jacob, you no longer have to be known as a deceiver. You no longer have to be known as a manipulator, because I've given you a new name, new life in Christ. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And you know what this was, gang? This was a turning point in his generation. This was a moment in history that he realized, I've got to stand up. Because I realized my granddaddy had this struggle. I realized my daddy had this struggle. Now I'm seeing I've got some of that in me. But instead of just accepting it, he had a wrestling match with God. He got so desperate and said, God, I'm not cool with staying where I'm at. What I know I need is more of God in my life. More of power, his power in our life, more of his love, more of his grace. He realized, I'm refusing for this generational line of labels and curses to go any more upon me, nor is it not going to touch my children, nor my children's children. The curse stops with me, and it's going to break in Jesus' name. And that was the game changer for Jacob, is he come to the realization that I'm not going to continue on and just accept this mess in my life, this status quo in my life. Why? Because I realize God has more for me. I realize that God has a future that's unshakable for me. Because my God is awesome, and that's who he is, and that's his love. And Isaiah 62:2, such a great verse. You will be called by a new name, that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. For some of us, this is, I know this is witnessing with us. Can I tell you, God's got a new name for you. His name for you. For some of us, it's you're an overcomer. For some of you, you're more than a conqueror. For some of you, you're a leader. For some of you, you're free in Jesus' name. For somebody, you're healed in Jesus' name. For somebody, you're whole. Are y'all getting this morning, or am I just preaching myself happy? Because I'm telling you, this is what God's plan and his purpose is for your life. And I don't know about you, but there's just something within me that says, God, I just want more. Want more, I want to know you more. I want to experience more of what you have for my life. Second thing is God said, I'll give you a new purpose, Jacob. With that name change is connected to a new purpose. Simon, interesting guy, I love him. In scripture, was one of the followers of the 12 of Jesus. When Jesus found him, he had issues in his life. All kinds of mess happening up in his life. But I love when he met Jesus because Jesus changed his name. He said, you're going to be called Peter. You're going to be called The Rock. And I'm not talking about Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, all right? I'm talking about The Rock. And Jesus is in a place where he's with the disciples, I'm sure a little frustrated, and asks, what are people saying about our ministry, guys? Like, well, how are we doing? And the response from the disciples is, well, Jesus, some are saying you're one of the prophets, some are saying you're Jeremiah. And you got to probably imagine his frustration, Jesus, in that moment. Said, well, but what about you guys? I mean, have you not processed this? Who do you say that I am? And Peter responded, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then in Matthew 16, 17, Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. In other words, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church with people like this. Man, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And all the powers of hell will not, everybody say will not, conquer it. Peter had his mistakes, but in the midst of his issues and his mistakes, Jesus saw potential. Jesus saw a future. Jesus saw greatness in his life. It was on the day of Pentecost that God used Peter to help see 3,000 people saved. Incredible. Incredible. Had an amazing ministry. Lived his life fully for the Lord. Gave his life for the cause of Christ. Was crucified for his faith. I'm just telling you this morning that God has an unshakable plan and a future for your life if you'll lean in and you'll trust him. He's got a name that is different than what you're doing. He sees greatness in you. Look at the person next to you and tell him, God sees greatness in you. Come on, tell him. Everybody, come on, tell him. Sees greatness in you. And I just know this, that oftentimes that your calling in your life will be connected to the weaknesses of your past. In other words, God will use those old labels to use you to help break it off of somebody else's life. And I'm just telling you, God is looking for people that will respond. God is looking for men and women right here in the city of Fort Wayne, right here at Elevate City Church, that says, I'm going to respond to God's call and to his voice and to do whatever it is that he has for me to do. I'm not going to think anymore about it. I'm just going to pursue it. I'm going to be obedient to it, and I'm going to follow hard after God in Jesus' name. Amen? And here's the last thing. God will give you a new name. He'll give you a new purpose. And he'll give you a new future. He'll give you a new future. I was thinking this week, I'm going to share a story with you. You might have heard if you've heard it. Sorry. All right, you'll have to hear it again. But I'm just going to come down here with you. Is that okay, everybody? You're sitting down. I thought I'd sit down with you. All right. But I was thinking about this past week. And when I was 12 years old, I had an opportunity set at a lunch with several other pastors, and I sat across from one of the ones that, man, I just loved, I respected. I just felt like the ugly boy at the prom. I was just glad to be there, you know what I mean? And I just was thankful to be there. And so there I was, and just gleaning, just listening. And he asked me, he says, Kyle, he says, what do you want to do with your life? And I said, well, I said, that's easy. I said, you know, one day I want to pastor plant a church in Fort Wayne, and I want to start preaching in my teen years. And that's what I hope to do. And again, I was 12 years of age. And he just looked at me. And he said, can I encourage you with something? So I'm bracing myself. I thought, come on, I'm ready. Give it to me. Can I encourage you to do something else? And I said, what? And I looked at him, and he just began to talk. He said, You'll never make it as a teen preacher. Nobody ever have you in. He said, I'd encourage you to pursue, maybe get a good business degree at college and go after that. There's really no future. It's not real secure in the ministry, so I'd encourage you to go down a different path. And gang, I'm telling you, as a 12-year-old boy, talk about trying to crush a 12-year-old boy's dream. And my heart began to sink, and something incredible happened next. Something amazing, something supernatural that happened, and it was God. He's talking, and it was like, this is how cool God is. Because he's interested, and we're going to read this verse in a minute, in every detail of your life. He cares about the little. He cares about the big. And it was like God put, I know this is going to sound a little funny, but it's like God put some spiritual earmuffs on my ears. It's like my kids doing one of these. Y'all's kids ever do that? Like, don't want to hear it. You know what I mean? And he was talking, but I couldn't hear anything. And I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, Kyle, but that's not what I told you. That's not what I said. And what I gave you to do, you're going to accomplish. And so by the time God was done talking to me, he was done talking too. And oh, by the way, it was 2 years later at the age of 14 that God began to open up traveling ministry for me to start preaching as a teenager. And that's not got anything to do with me. That's got everything to do that when God calls you something, he's going to see you through it. And when he presents his picture for your life, it's full of awesomeness. And I'm just telling you, you may have to go through some pain. You will have to go through some pain in order to get to where you need to be. But I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it in the end to see God's plan, to see God's unshakable future to come for your life in Jesus' name. It's going to be worth it. I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Everybody say it's going to be worth it. So when he tells you something, he'll see you through it. John 14, 12, it says, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me, Jesus said, will also do the works that I do. Man, that's awesome. Check out the next part. But greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. Can I tell you, that's a great picture of the love of a father right there. Because a father wants more for his kids. I want my three kids one day to do more than dad and mom ever could do. I want them to go farther. Are y'all here today? And that's what Jesus is saying. He said, greater works. I know that's like mine. That'll melt your brain. I get it. Take some time to process that. But that's his love for us. To go do even greater works in Jesus' name. And so Proverbs 16, 19. Come here, David. David's been helping me out this morning. It says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Everybody say his steps. So David's going to represent you and me. And then I'm just going to kind of represent the Lord, all right, and the Holy Spirit. Psalm 37, 23. Love this verse. Keep that up there, guys. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. Your steps, sir, ma'am, young person, has been ordered by the Lord. So every step that you take, you got to see this. And I'm wanting you to see this. And all three services today, I've been wanting everybody to see this, that you're in a place, whether it's today that in your marriage, in the workplace, every detail of your life, he delights in. That every step that you take is not a step, listen to me, alone. It's a step with God. It's a step that is in alignment, in direction. That's why as you stay close to Jesus, that's the key, that every step that you take. So when I wake up on a Monday and I'm getting ready for work and when I get in the car and when I get to work, guess what? I'm not doing it alone. I'm doing it with God. Why? Because he delights in every detail of our life. You talk about an unshakable future. It's a God that's interested in every detail of your life, that walks with you when it's awesome, but walks with you when it's hell. That's a God that's in love with you and with me. And that's radical and it's awesome. I'm going to show you something else because God's just awesome this way. All right, give me two guys. Come on, guys, just two of you. I don't care who it is. Two of you. Guys have been helping me. Stand behind me, all right? One behind David, one behind me. So as I was, man, I just felt like the Lord was showing me this. And then this scripture back in Psalm 23. This is a psalm that's read a lot of time. At funerals, and I think it's great, and it should be. But I want to bring it back here today and show you something out of this that I think is just a helpful reminder. And this psalm has just been going on and on in my spirit this week. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Some of you need to allow the Holy Spirit today to lead you beside some still waters and just rest. Take a breath, rest. He wants to lead you beside some still waters. Guess what? He restores my soul. He leads me. Everybody say, He leads me. You'll notice this is saying this again and again, in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will, whatever situation is, if it's in my marriage, in my family, in my finances, I'm not going to fear it because God is interested and is walking with me. My steps are ordered in every detail of my life. For you are with me, your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare. Man, this is powerful. I wish I could preach longer on this part here. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Whoa. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And surely, goodness and mercy. Everybody say goodness.
Goodness.
Everybody say mercy.
Mercy.
Come on, they're going to represent goodness and mercy. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So with my family, with my job, with whatever situation, my physical condition, I'm not alone. My steps are ordered. He is with me. My future is secure. And yeah, oh, by the way, goodness and mercy are also following me all the days of my life as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, let's stand up on our feet. We can get loud at a basketball game and a football game. Let's give Jesus about 20 seconds of praise. Your future is secure. It's unshakable in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody? Amen. Come on, we serve a powerful God, full of strength, full of power. You don't have to fear. Your future is secure. Come on, let me pray. Let's pray right now. Come on, just bow your head. Remain standing. Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' name. I speak over every person. I declare an unshakable future is in front of them in the name of the Lord. And Father, I declare that even labels, generational curses that have tried to hold us back, I declare in Jesus' name today those things to break off you in Jesus' name. I declare of your mind, your heart, and your spirit to be free in the things of God. I declare for you to be able to hear the voice of the Lord again in Jesus' mighty name. Father, right now, God, we just release the ministry of your Holy Spirit in this house, Lord, right now. God, to touch every heart, touch every mind, touch the spirit of every single one of us in this place. God, we need you. We need you, Jesus. That's what we need. We need more of your power, more of your presence. So, God, this morning, we just declare our desperation. We are desperate for you. We need you, God. We need you, God. Come on, Elevate City. I'm just encouraging you out of your own mouth. Just let him know how much you love him, how much you need him in your life. Lord, we need you. Can't do this life without you. Don't want to think about doing this without you. Father, I declare peace, rest in Jesus' precious name. In the name of the Lord, peace, peace. Be still in Jesus' name. I just feel like, man, some of us are just, we're in a place of wrestling. Listen, I encourage you, surrender to God. Whatever the situation is, surrender it to him. God's got his peace available for you today. I'm telling you. Give it over to him. Give it over to him. Give it over to him. Father, we thank you right now, God, for your presence and your peace. Right now, in this place. Man, just such a, all day, such a sweet presence of God in here. I'm just telling you, he's in the house. God, we just love you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. If you're here right now, I want to give you an opportunity that if Jesus Christ isn't the Lord of your life, if he's not been a priority, maybe it was at one point, and not sure what's happened, or maybe this is all new to you. Can I encourage you? If you're the last person on earth, Christ still would have died for you. He loves you so much that that he gave his life for you. And this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I want you to be bold. Just a moment, if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand with boldness and say, man, come on this Palm Sunday. Man, that's me. I need to put Jesus first. I need him in my life. Come on, don't worry about who's next to you. I'm just going to ask you on the count of three, be real honest and shoot your hand straight up in the air. Be bold because Jesus was bold for you. He went to a cross beaten naked for you because he loves you. So let's be bold in this moment. Come on, for Christ. On the count of three. One, two, three. Come on in this place. Say, man, that's me. That's me. Yeah, yeah. Gotcha, gotcha. Yes, yes, yes. Proud of you. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, all the church. Come on, let's pray. Many for the first time right here. Just say this prayer. Scripture says, just mean it from your heart. Confess with your mouth. And you'll be saved. Just say, Jesus, I give my life to you. Forgive me of my sins. Make me brand new. Thank you for dying for me so that I can live. And fill me with your spirit so that I will know you and serve you all the days of my life. I declare my life is not my own. Jesus, I give my life to you. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, a lot of people, Elevate City, for the first time, raise their hand. Come on, let's just stay in this moment, but come on, let's give God a hand for that. Amen.